All right, everybody. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of In Liberty and Health. Today, we're going to be talking about America First, some of the stuff that's going on recently, and just lots of stuff. My guest today was recommended to me by a friend, MK Ultra, on Twitter. And the guest today was on Jubilee, and I didn't originally watch the appearance until relatively recently, and then I completely understood why this dude took the internet, at least like our corner of the internet, by storm. Because very, very intelligent, very, very well spoken, well informed on a lot of topics that we talk about here, and also well informed about topics that I would like to talk about a little bit more. So I'm sure we're going to get into that today. And then, of course, the latest shooting that's gone on recently. So before we get into today's show, please make sure you go to all the links below where you can find my guest, everything he's got going on. Of course, Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout. I'm sure they have a awesome Labor Day sale. So make sure you go there. Like I said, use code Kyle at checkout. Let them know that you support the Metovic family. And what else do I want to plug? Oh, Great Megalodon on Substack. I'm starting to publish articles a little bit more consistently now with the heavy metal Substack. So if you don't listen for politics or anything like that, it's a great place to go to just hear about heavy metal. And of course, Fox & Sons Coffee, use code Kyle at checkout. So, I guess without further ado, now that I got all the obligatory shilling out the way, let's get into the rest of today's show. And, when we say America First, we mean America First. And welcome to the show, the awesome Doomernat. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? That intro is badass, man. That was sick.
Thank you. Yeah, that's actually my band. It was a
cool
excerpt I cut out of a song, and then I'm like, okay, well, how do I make this like all about me without being as douchey as possible? And then it, you know, kind of worked out to that, man. So, I'm stoked to have you here. And like I said, a mutual of ours on Twitter, MK Ultra, I forget what else he has. I think it's like Loki something. He had said, hey, you should have him on the show. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll check him out. And then I told you today, I listened to a few of the appearances you did on some mutual of ours shows. And I'm like, oh yeah, this kid's awesome. So
thanks, man.
Of course. Why don't you let everybody know what you're about and kind of how you got to be a little bit of an internet sensation, our dissident right wing sphere of Twitter.
Yeah, so I'm Doomernat. I don't know. I've always been lurking in the shadows for a couple years now, but I had an opportunity to go on Jubilee, and that clip went super viral, and now I've just been counter-signaling the right people on Twitter, basically. That's what I've been kind of known for now. I kind of just give the nuanced position and set a narrative that an unpopular one, but one that's getting a little bit more and more attention.
Yeah, well, I really, really dig it, and I think it's one of these dumb bimbo blondes that I saw just before I came up here. I think her ad's like Emily Saves America or something like that. It's always like these right-wing America First MAGA patriots, but they always have... it was awesome. Absolutely wonderful. Where they seem like they're good on so many issues, but like now I try to like remind people of this, that just a few months ago, they were saying that they were going to start paying influencers to be pro-Israel because clearly it's just like a blatantly losing issue to take side on. And you see so many people just constantly sticking their head up, being a fervent Zionist on Twitter. Brandon Tatum seems to be one of like the bigger name ones. I got a tweet that got a decent bit of traction. Emily Saves America. I know you've been going at Laura Loomer, the Fisted Patriot. I mean, Misfit Patriot.
Me and Mike Painovich recently had a debate with two of the guys who were part of the young Gen Z conservative influencers that took a trip to Israel. And Emily Saves America was a part of that group that went to Israel. There were a couple other ones. That one gay black guy, Xavier DeRusso.
Oh yeah, I saw that guy's name. Cam Higby was another one.
Yeah, we debated Cam Higby and Lance Videos, who were part of that trip to Israel. That went really well. They kind of got exposed for being just like Israel stooges. But there seems to be this interesting project of synthesizing this type of rising American nationalism that is very prominent amongst people my age with pro-Israel Zionism and things like that. And so that seems to be the project that they're interested in trying to artificially kind of manifest and manufacture. And that's not going to be very successful. That's not at all, I think, going to be a right route to take. That's definitely what the Zionist right is trying to do right now.
Yeah, well, I remember you mentioned this on the Backlash, the whole BAP network, where I followed BAP for a brief period of time. I had a good friend who I trust very much so kind of recommend him to me. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, he told me to get his book. I just never ended up getting it. I kind of forgot about it. And I followed him on Twitter, and I seen some good takes over here and there. And then when people started kind of pointing out, like, oh, well, like, you got to look at this whole PayPal mafia, you know, the Thiel network going down to BAP and Barry Weiss and all these crazy Zionists. I remember you bringing up kind of how, like, it's almost like they're trying to slip in Zionism in certain places, but they won't do it too, you know, blatantly because they know it's unpopular.
Well, it can't be too blatant, but people are still caught up with it. BAP is a Jew, and he's connected to this whole kind of Peter Thiel network. There's a couple of guys who are involved in that. One of the biggest ones is Curtis Yarvin, who seems to be one of the biggest ideological influences on Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel is one of the basically the guy who created J.D. Vance. And so when you see all these guys in this sphere rallying behind Vance, especially since this Gavin Newsom meme has taken off, it's really starting to it makes you wonder a little bit, because one of BAP's biggest things is like bodybuilding. I mean, you go on his page and it's nothing but bodybuilding and this and that. They're kind of the guys, like, they'll say, like, post-arm, post-physique, do something like that.
But they never do.
Well, what's interesting is they're rallying behind J.D. Vance, but J.D. Vance is, like, a degenerate, fat, you know, just not a decent guy to look at. And then you look at Newsom, and he's, like, a handsome guy with a all-white family. And then when people point this out, and then they reek, and, you know, they conjure and this and that, that whole ideology, you know, it could be pro-white, the aesthetics are pro-white, the aesthetics are Zionism, that's what they want to code it as. But it's really just, you know, no matter what, vote for the Republican Party and be a Zionist.
Yeah, that's really kind of what it boils down to. Do you think the whole Gavin Newsom push is legit, or do you think it's just kind of a troll? You think it's legit?
Well, it's... it's semi-ironic, but the point is there. There's two points. One is what I just mentioned, is to hold this type of Baptist, you know, Republican ideology, hold their feet to the fire. It's just like, you're supposedly a white nationalist. You're supposedly big into bodybuilding. This is a guy who's fat and who's married to an Indian running for president against a guy who is handsome. He's white. He has an all-white family. Are you going to vote? Which one are you going to vote for? And they've conjured up, and they're going, they're trying to push against this Newsom stuff and really rallying behind J.D. Vance. The point that's being driven here is that stop voting for the Republican Party. If you're pro-white, if you care about racial demographics, if you care about white people, stop supporting the Republican Party. They haven't done anything for white people. They call it like gay race communism. We've had gay race communism since like 1965, and the Republicans have not done anything to stop it. So make them earn your vote, make them actually resonate with you. And if they don't, simply don't support them. And then that's kind of the whole Newsom thing. I mean, the you know, support for Democrats, like amongst this and right, that's kind of always been a thing, like as a meme. Like, do you remember Yang Gang way back in like 2020?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's reminiscent of. It's just like, you're not giving us anything. We're not going to vote for you anymore. We'll vote for the opposing side. And if that means you lose elections, that means that you need us. And if you need us, actually do stuff for us. That's kind of the point.
Okay, so I guess my one pushback here, and maybe it's not even necessarily so much pushback, I didn't vote this past election. Last two elections before that, I voted for libertarians. But I was just so disaffected with absolutely everybody this go round. I understand the aesthetic and your argument for Newsom, because let's face it, he is a good looking dude, and you know, his family is a beautiful family. I just don't know how you can get over the hurdle that California is California, and it is largely at his, you know, because he's governor there and he's chosen to kind of basically have a controlled demolition of California. I understand the argument of kind of holding your vote hostage, but do you think that it would seriously be worth supporting Newsom in this respect?
All it is doing is just saying that you know, we're not supporting the Republican Party anymore. It's not like a legitimate, we're going to go knock on doors and be like, vote for Newsom. It's not necessarily about that. All it is about is just saying, we're done with you. It's specifically about Vance. Vance is the key here. It's not just another Republican. It is a guy who was calling Trump Hitler. It is a guy that comes from Yale who was in cahoots with very prominent neoconservatives like Frum. He was in cahoots and was basically created by Peter Thiel. He went to go work for Thiel's venture capital. He is married to an Indian. Very recently, this is a very recent development in his political career, which is getting close with Trump. And a big reason why I got close with Trump is because Peter Thiel was the guy who was bringing Vance to Mar-a-Lago. And so it's a specific point about Vance. We're not going to support Vance. We'll support a Democrat to make sure that Nance is not the guy who's going to be president, because there's worries about Palantir with cahoots in the government. There's worries about H-1B visas. I mean, you saw it the other day. Trump said that, you know, we're going to let in like 600,000 Chinese foreign students in, right? And so it's just like, what is that like? Vance destroyed his own bloodline. What do you think he's going to do to the country? Just because he's a Republican doesn't mean that we have to support him. So it's just trying to light a flame up under the ass of Republicans and saying that we are actually through with being a Republican. We're through with Vance. We're through with MAGA. We're through with all this other stuff. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? It seems to me the host has like literally disappeared.
Sorry about that. Yeah, internet totally crapped the bed out of nowhere. It started getting a little patchy, and I just connected my hotspot, so we should be good. I'm so sorry about that. So
you're good, man. Don't even worry about it, man. I was just ranting. It's all good.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good. So basically where it seems like we got cut off at, it says my internet's still a little patchy, but let me make sure I'm all on the right stuff. Okay, yeah, we're good. We're good. It basically seems like don't really have an issue with this, because like we can get into what I'm thinking about it here in a bit, but like it's I agree with holding pressure against the Republican Party, because yeah, they definitely don't have our best interests in mind. And like I definitely think with Trump, and I heard you and Jose talk about this, I looked up the article actually, where like there was a lot of interference in the 2016 campaign with Israel and Trump. I thought he was saying a lot of the right stuff in 2016. Knowing what I know now, I probably would have voted for Trump in 16, but I still wouldn't have voted for him in 20, and I still wouldn't have voted for him in 2024. So I think there definitely needs to be more of like a, we're going to hurt you if you don't start pandering to our side.
And also remember, we're still like 3 years out of the election, right? Like this, it's not, you know, there's a lot of time left. We don't know if Newsom's going to be the Democratic candidate. I'm pretty fairly certain it's going to be Vance, but there's something wrong with the mic.
Is that me?
Yeah, I think so.
What the hell? I normally don't have these kind of issues. I'm so sorry, man.
Well, you're good, man. Don't worry about it. It's massage. Hey. They knew I was coming on. They knew you were going to be here, man. It's fucking Mossad. They're fucking with the internet and the mic shit, bro. That's what it is. It's 100% what it is. Oh, and another point that needs to be made. I know you're muted right now, but I am going to say this. Is that MAGA has sucked a lot of oxygen out of white nationalism and out of legitimate pro-white politics. And it's like, how much longer are we going to keep this train going? With Trump, this is Trump's last time he can be the president. MAGA should be basically cut off. And if that means that Vance loses an election, then kind of so be it. I don't think Vance is going to do that much. I just think that what MAGA is, should be basically over with, because I'm sick of having to deal with people about how, you know, this we're so back mentality every time Trump like signals towards dissident right politics. It's we're so back.
Yeah.
He's really in there. Man, I'm sick of that. This should be over with and this should be done.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's kind of frustrating because, like, I think one of the most annoying things for me with this go around with Trump is just like the gaslighting constantly. Like, bro, it's we're so back. Everything's so good. It's like, but you're not talking about anything bad that he's done. Like, there's people seriously in my fucking mentions and in my DMs saying, oh, no, Trump was right to bomb Iran. Like, they will argue with you. Like, people that said, oh, yeah, Trump's the anti-war president, but we had to bomb Iran. Like, bro, please.
And we're not getting anything. We're not getting anything right with Russia. He promised exactly that was going to be over within 24 hours. They've done nothing but escalate the situation. Nothing came out of that discussion. America's still demanding the same things that we've been demanding since the war started. We're losing. Right. You can't lose a war and then act like the other country that's beating you is going to make concession towards you. That's just ridiculous. None of the promises he's made have actually been kept. Mass deportations aren't happening. You're not going to get your Epstein files. They're suing universities for being anti-Semitic. Universities are still discriminating against white students en masse. And there's been no lawsuits against universities in regards to their anti-white discrimination. But as soon as a couple Jews feel uncomfortable, they're going to sue them. This administration has been a complete colossal failure. And anybody who's acting like it's not is just coping.
Yeah, there's like this subset of people, the same people that will tell you that it was good that Trump bombed Iran, are the same people who would try to look at you with a straight face and tell you, oh, no, we're getting the deportations, but it's only people who criticize Israel. It's literally those are the only people that are getting deported. And I would understand if they had speech laws against criticizing America. I wouldn't be for it, but be sympathetic. I'd understand. But literally they treat criticism of Israel more seriously than they treat criticism of the United States, which is just like that tells you everything you need to know right there.
100% agree.
Yeah. So one thing that kind of ties into the whole Israel thing, as we were talking about, and I know you wanted to talk about this, so I'll give you a chance here in a minute. And that's the whole school shooter situation that just happened today. We talked about it a little bit off air. I was really busy at work today, so I really didn't get a chance to dig into this. It seems like everybody's taking this tragedy, let's be honest, and trying to use it to push their agenda, where you see the pro-Israel people saying, oh, no, this person hated Israel, so clearly this is motivated by anti-Semitism, which, like, of course, this works for you. And then I see people saying, oh, this person's Jewish, so this has to be, you know, Jews trying to kill the Catholics, which obviously there is a lot of animosity between Jews and Catholics there. And obviously I'm on the Catholic side. But what the hell's going on with this?
So first of all, it needs to be clear that this shooting did happen today. So if I say anything wrong, if there's further evidence that contradicts anything I'm about to say, whatever. First thing that needs to be said is you're right. It's an absolute tragedy. My thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and their families. I believe 2 have died, 17 are injured. And remember, this was a shooting at a Catholic church that does schools. And so the victims, whether they were injured or murdered, were within the ages of like 8 and 10 years old. So this is one of the most unimaginable evils that you can ever think of. With that being said, there's no – and I fell for this on Twitter today. I made an offhand comment about the shooter being Jewish. There's no evidence to suggest that they are Jewish. There's no evidence to suggest that. His mother – and I'm going to say he because they were born a man and transitioned into a woman, which is fake and not real – his mother worked at so I'm not entirely sure if the mother worked at the church that he shot up, but it's very clear that that his mother worked at a church, at a Catholic church. So with that being said, the narrative that's being pushed about how he was anti-Semitic and he hated Israel comes from the writings that are own his gun. And what's own his gun is Israel must fall, destroy Hayez. Hayez is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. It's a big Jewish NGO that resettles immigrants into the United States and also into Europe as well. There's other stuff on there. But what's interesting, and you have people like Laura Loomer, Randy Fine, Misfit Patriot, all saying about how this was a terrorist attack motivated by anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism. you know, if they were actually motivated by anti-Semitism, you would suspect that they would shoot up a synagogue or a Jewish school, but they didn't. Right. So that makes like no sense. Also, Laura Loomer was trying to link it to like Islam. What's interesting is,
of course,
what's on the person's gun is Remove Kebab. If anyone doesn't know, Remove Kebab is an old meme from the alt-right days, which was targeted against Muslim immigrants. So presumably, if edgy anti-Semitic remarks on their gun and magazines, if that's evidence of anti-Semitism, then it's also evidence that this person's Islamophobic. Now, obviously, that's not what's going on here. This person was just a terminally online nihilist who was heavily involved in edgy memes, and so they wrote that on their gun. And what's probably the case is this is just a mentally ill person who hated their mother. Right? They are trans. Those people are if you're trans, you are mentally ill. And they shot up a Catholic church, which their mother worked at a Catholic church. I'm not entirely sure if it was the same Catholic church they shot up. So this is just a nihilist thing. This is just, this person was mentally ill. They hated their life. They wanted to kill themselves. And so they just went out and took out people who probably reminded him of her mother. And if anyone's trying to push a narrative that is not that or close to that, they are a bad actor. People trying to link this to anti-Zionism, Islam, anti-Semitism, that's completely false. And I've seen, what's interesting is in the media, they're referring to him as him. Now, in my experience, which is very interesting because the liberal media has been the people who have been pushing this trans stuff. So if they're deliberately misgendering this person, I've seen plenty of liberals do this as well. I heard a news commentator say it. They're referring to this person as a white man. They are technically a white man, but it's not your average white man. This is a transgender who is a nihilist, mentally ill person who and they had other writings referencing other terrorists, school shooters, something about Andrew Breivik. They had KFDN, it was a logo that they had that was something that the Columbine shooter, shirt logo, whatever, something that resembled a fashion logo. Sorry, a fashion logo that resembled what the Columbine shooters like. This was just a very mentally ill person that was suicidal that went out and took out their rage on a bunch of white Catholic children to be exact. And there's nothing more evil than that. And this trying to build a political narrative is one thing out of this, but one that's clearly not there. I mean, that's just despicable.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, I haven't been on Twitter for much more than maybe the last 4 years. My Twitter's like, I think I made it back in like 2008, but I really got active back in 2021. Yeah. Yeah. And now it's like, I don't recall.
You said what year?
Oh, I made my Twitter back in 2008, but I got back on in like 2021.
I was 2 years old in 2008.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm getting so old. I would have been 14 in 2008.
Oh man, yeah. Like 12 years old me.
Yeah, I know, I'm getting old. Don't remind me. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody like run with a narrative that fast on this. And it's like you said, it's despicable because it's literally like, hey, we're going to take the death of all these Catholic children and we're going to use this to further our pet cause. A friend of mine, Janine Yunez, had a good tweet real quick. I want to make sure I read this. She said, the important thing is that every American influencer can now use this tragedy as proof that his or her pet cause should be widely embraced. And that's really what it is for a lot of people.
Yeah. And what it's even really, and what's bad is just like, there probably is no political motive behind this shooting. And if there is, the victims of the attack were the political motive there, which is the death of white Catholics. But there probably is no political motive behind this. This was just a person who hated themselves, and they took that hatred and also put it on something that probably reminded them of their mother, which is Catholicism.
Yeah, dude, it's absolutely humiliating to kind of see this stuff going on. Another thing that has been kind of making the rounds recently was that little girl who had the axe and knife fighting against the immigrants. I have a take, but I'm curious what your thoughts were.
Give me your take first.
Okay. every time I see people say, well, did you vote for it? It makes me unreasonably angry.
Because isn't that what Andrew Wilson said?
I'll neither confirm nor deny. I'm very good friends with his wife. I sincerely love his wife. She's one of the sweetest people ever, and she's done a lot for me personally. Andrew, on the other hand, I'll be cool with him. But
that was just a bad take. Wait, that was a bad.
Oh yeah, it was.
No problems with Andrew Wilson either. But that was a bad take.
Yeah. So, but like, my basic point is that like people will only apply this in one direction, where it's like, oh, if you voted for Democrats, then you deserve to have brownoids storm your country and rape all the women because you supported Democrats. But they'll never take the opposite side of that and say, oh, well, I voted for Trump, so therefore Trump just set the record again for bombing Somalia. They won't say, oh, yeah, well, then that means I have to own the vaccines. I have to own hate speech laws for Israel. They'll never do that. But they'll do it against people who voted for Democrats. But once again, if you look at polling on this stuff, and this gets us into another topic I want to talk about, like vast, vast majorities of people support way less immigration than we have now, and it never happens, no matter what. So you're telling me that because like you cast a ballot that automatically means like you're represented? Like, we all know that's bullshit. So why the fuck would you say that? Because it's just not true. Like, you don't vote for that. Nobody voted to have, like you said, a Jewish NGO traffic all these people over here and ruin the lives of average people. Nobody fucking voted for that.
Also, one thing that also needs to be made clear here is the girl who was brandishing the knife and the axe was like 14. Like, she's not voting at all for anything.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, and also, yeah, you're exactly right. Here's the thing is a lot of people get upset about this, but like, I don't discriminate against other white people about how they vote. That's not how I get down. Republicans are just as bad on these issues as Democrats. They might be slightly better on something like immigration, but they're going to be worse on things like, say, Israel, say, you know, Zion, stuff like that. So no one votes for this. When people vote, the only thing that's going through their mind is, will this politician make my life better? People vote Republican because maybe they want border control. People want Democrats because maybe they want, let's say, you know, cheaper drugs, healthcare, something like that. That's why people vote. People aren't voting for these people expecting to get swarms of immigrants coming into their country. Right. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to happen with both parties, no matter who's in charge. That's just what's going to happen. So I agree with you 100%. If this, but this happened in it was Scotland, right?
Yeah.
With a 14-year-old girl, she's not voting for anything, and I promise you, people in Scotland are not voting for a bunch of Muslims to come into their country. They're not voting for that. So, yeah, I don't like that form of argumentation. And even if people did vote for the Liberal Party, I don't think that means it's all right now for like a swarm of Muslims to now go into their area. I don't like that form of argumentation.
Yeah. It's always just been like knuckle dragging nonsense to me. Cause then it also implies that once again, when you cast a ballot, you're going to get what you voted for, when we know that just, it does not happen. Like, people voted for Trump because they want him to end wars. They want him to mass deport people. They wanted a better economy. We literally got none of that. So, like, now does that mean I get to say, ha ha, you voted for it, therefore you deserve
it? I will actually say that to Trump people. I will 100%. Yeah, because they were telling me.
Yeah. Okay, we're in the same position here. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, so, like, there was, and I don't, like, hate these people, but I think they deserve to be clowned on. Like, Harrison Smith is one, and Chase Geyser was another one. And Chase has been on this show before, it was a long time ago. But when you were begging and pleading people to vote for Trump, and now you're going hard against him because he's not doing what you voted for, I'm like, he has a 4-year track record. Like, where the fuck were you? And then did you not listen to his campaign? He campaigned on all the stuff he's doing right now as well. He takes every side of every issue. So I'm sorry, but yeah, it seems like we're in the same place here.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you did vote for Trump, and now you're not satisfied with what's happening and you're fully now your own, like, the anti-Trump train, I would just want a written apology, and then I might think about it. But I've seen people like still defend, like when the 600,000 Chinese thing came out and people were like, I saw a couple of MAGA people counter signaling and I'm just like, this is what you voted for. I told you not to vote for it.
Yeah.
And then I saw people trying to defend it. And ooh. I'm just like, I've saw so much cope around it. And I'm just like, they still, because a lot, this was happening during his first administration, this 5D chess narrative where he's doing stuff and that's, and he's like actually trying to get the opposite out of it.
Adjacent nonsense.
Yeah. I was like, this is fucking retarded. Like, this is just stupid. Like, I saw one guy say he said that about the 600,000 Chinese students to like make fun of Howard Lutnick. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? No, you probably are fixing to get 300,000 more Chinese students into the country. You're just going to get that and you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to talk about was your debate with Mehdi, and not necessarily like that debate in particular, but, you know, as a guy who looks into health and nutrition quite a bit, when somebody actually goes in and reads a study, I'm impressed right away because most people just will not do that. Okay. As a guy who has read many, many on this show about health and fitness, like I said, when somebody knows the ins and out of something, it's like, oh, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. So I'm a mechanic for a living. I work for Buick GMC Cadillac. And yeah. You were talking about the wages of tech workers. So
hold on, give me just one moment. Give me one moment.
Yeah, I can take you off screen if need be. Yeah. Be good to see you.
Sorry about that. Fucking...
No, dude, no problem. Whatever you got to do. It looked like whatever was going on there was cool.
I was like, yo, you can't. I was like, I told him, I was like, I'm going on a show. I don't think you want to come back here. And I'm at my grandparents' house. I don't think they know that, like, you should not be seen on camera with me. Like, you should, like, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's more like, I'm. Yeah.
It's more of like it's for like your safety type of thing. It's not like I'm being an asshole. It's just like, I don't want, you see what I'm saying? Anyways, go. What were you work at? You're a mechanic.
Yeah. So basically like you were talking about the STEM jobs and how there's basically been like a recession in overall wages for a lot of tech workers. So
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.
Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
I'm kind of curious how you got to that perspective. And I agree with you, but I'm kind of curious to hear how you walk through this. So, because we always hear that immigrants are good because they do, you know, they do jobs for cheaper, either that or like they help produce things for our economy. Walk me through this here.
Yeah, so there's a couple ways to go about that. Like you just said, they do, you know, that is a standard argument. One that maybe more fiscally conservative people are going to make is that, you know, they do jobs for cheaper. But yeah. You notice is that Mehdi was saying is that immigrants don't actually lower wages. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that immigrants come in here and they work for cheap, and that's a good thing. But then also, they don't lower wages. That's what working for cheap means. It means whoever is also working that job with the immigrant, they're also fixing to get paid less. So the way it was specifically with H-1B visas, because this is an occupation. Because a lot of people, when they think about immigrants, they're thinking of like illegal Mexicans coming and like doing hard labor jobs, and so they think, well, a lot of Americans don't want to do that stuff. Maybe true. But that's not the case with H-1B visas. H-1B visa holders are high-skilled immigrants who are coming in a field that a lot of Americans want to do, which is like software development. Something like 40% of software developers are foreign-born. That's unacceptable. And it gets worse when you go in specifically into Silicon Valley. Something like three fifths of Silicon Valley software developers are foreign born on an H-1B visa. That's extremely unacceptable. And what that means is a lot of people are getting out competed. And the reason why they're getting out competed is not because these people are better. It's not because they're higher skilled. It's not because they're smarter. It's because they'll take a pay cut. Anything that an immigrant is going to get paid is going to be better than what they were getting paid in their other country. They're probably coming from a middle income, low income country. Whatever they get paid here is going to be better than what they get paid back there. So they can get paid 15, 20% below the median wage of their occupation. That it's going to be probably 80, 100% better than what they were going to get paid over there. There's a lot of data on this. The Economic Policy Institute has a lot of stuff about H-1B visas. In 2023, companies like Tesla, Apple, these huge companies engaged in mass layoffs of workers, but then they engaged in mass hirings of people who are on H-1B visas. And that was kind of the point I was making. I was just like, you know, you can't say it's good for the economy, especially when you're a progressive. Mm-hmm. When this is the consequence of immigration, which is the lowering of wages or even the straight up firing of native born workers in favor of immigrants.
Yeah, it's I think their rebuttal would be that it's good because these people now are working jobs that, you know, Americans won't necessarily do. But like you said, the rebuttal to that is that like Americans want some of these jobs. And I think it's also like the progressive worldview is that, you know, hey, we're all blank slates and people should be allowed to move around freely and send their money freely. But I think the rebuttal to that would be more like we want to keep money for Americans and, you know, also have Americans working American jobs. So that way we keep the money local and to the communities and our own economy.
Hold on. Give me a moment.
Yeah, it's all right.
Someone was calling me. Give me one moment.
Yeah, no problem.
Sorry about this.
Yeah, you're all right. They still have very patriarchal family structures for the most part, too, which allows them to be way more organized. Yeah, just the it's so interesting.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
I was getting a Discord call, so like I was getting it in my headphones, so I couldn't actually hear anything.
It's all right. I was just trying to fill the blank air, but like the H-1B thing, and this is something that you met and did Jose's show as well. Him and I have talked about this a little bit. Where like, yeah, Trump has stopped like the net flow of migration in respect to like illegal border crossings, but what I think people aren't looking at is how much he's focused on like legal immigration, wanting to expand legal immigration, specifically, like you said, the H-1B visas, where it's we're taking skilled workers, which are generally just Pajits with fucking degrees or something that they got from diploma mill, to go work a job that pays really well or be a doctor or something like that. And now Americans get forced out of that. Either they have to accept the lower wage than they normally would have gotten.
And that's actually much, you know, see, when it comes to the economics of it, legal immigration is probably going to be much worse than illegal ones. And that's because illegal immigration is going to go into probably these more physically demanding occupations that Americans don't want to actually do. Legal immigrant, that's completely different. They're actually coming over here to do specific high-skilled occupations that a lot of Americans go to four-year universities to go and do. And so when they get there and, like, the salary has gone down maybe 10% or 20% lower than what it would have been if these immigrants didn't come in. Well, that's actually a really big problem. Yeah. And also and here's the biggest issue is with these high skilled immigrants. So like Indians and Chinese and just generally East Asians, they're coming to be managerial or elites. They're like something crazy, like 40% of Harvard's graduating class is East Asian. That's a big problem. East Asians are very liberal. And the, you know, Harvard and Ivy League graduating body is a pretty good proxy for like who's going to be the future elite. Notice Jews dominate these the student body as well. But it's a big problem when you have foreign people becoming the elite of a country. That's like a really big issue, especially when these are, you know, East Asians, which are known for being ethnocentric, collectivists, things of that nature. So there's a there's a social and an economic aspect of legal immigration that a lot of people ignore when it comes to talking about the immigration debate. That's because conservatives usually focus on illegal immigration and make it about a national security threat. I'm not saying illegal immigration is good. It's definitely bad. But legal immigration is a huge problem that doesn't get a lot of focus in like the mainstream immigration debate.
Right. Well, yeah, because the right wing talking point is always, oh, you can come here, but you have to do it legally. It's like, okay, well, then what happens if Joe Biden says that all the people that he just let in that were illegal immigrants over the last like 5 years are now all legal immigrants? Then, okay, well, now they all immigrated legally like all the conservatives want, but they're not actually like that. The country's now worse off. So really the position has to be you have an immigration moratorium. Like that's the only way that I could see you really improve things.
I would agree. And there's also like, yeah, I've made that point all the time. If it's the problem is that they're here illegally and that's the only issue, well, then we can just make them fucking legal. And then like, there it is. Well, like obviously there's something much more fundamental than just illegal.
Right. And one thing that you mentioned there that I never really thought about all that much is the idea that you're having foreigners become elites in this country where it's like, wouldn't we want the people who are born here, have families here, have ancestry here? Wouldn't you want them to have, you know, the people who have stake in the country to be the elites, because then the elites kind of form the next generation and also have the kind of mindset of like, hey, we need to improve this country because we have a stake in it. Like we're going to have families and we're going to continue our bloodline in perpetuity in this country. But when you have foreigners that are born here and become elites here, then once again, it's to J.D. Vance's credit, is the whole economic zone idea where it's like, oh, like this country isn't an economic zone. Like this is my home. I'm a fourth generation mechanic, and now my daughter's sitting downstairs with my wife, and we're not going anywhere. But, you know, people who come here two generations ago or just came here in the last 5 years, they don't look at it that way.
I'm actually for maybe deporting legal immigrants that have come in here in the past, you know, 5 or 10 years. You know, I saw not a lot of people talking about this. Do you remember when there was when all the Haitians were in Springfield and that was a big talking point? Those guys were legal. Those guys were legal. They were here legally and they were causing massive issues. Now that got obscured because we had to deal with the whole talking point of they're eating dogs and cats, which I was actually not a fan of that. I thought that was much more destructive than it was constructive. But there were massive problems that were happening in Springfield because of legal Haitian third world migration. Rents were exploding. Wages were going down. Rape was up. Car accidents were up. That famous story where the Haitian crashed into the school bus and killed like two children. That happened in Springfield. So there were massive problems that were happening in Springfield. And that was caused by not just illegal, but that was legal migration. I can think of loads of other examples too. You look at Canada, for example, or Europe, that's mostly legal. That's mostly legal refugees coming in when it's either Europe because they have valid asylum claims, or in Canada with the Indians being there, that's legal migration. So legal migration can very much cause issues, whether it be different issues or the same issues that illegal migration also causes.
Yeah. And that's the whole kind of goes against the standard conning talking point. We're like, oh, we just need to fix legal immigration. It's like, no, we need to actually just restrict immigration. Like there shouldn't be a conversation about illegal, legal. It's like, no. We have, what is it? Like there's a certain percentage of the population that's literally here on visas. Like why? Right. Why are you here on a visa? If you're going to immigrate here, then okay, yeah.
Illegal immigration shouldn't even be a conversation. If you're here illegally, you got to fucking go. And then we can have a conversation about what we should do with legal immigration. My position is it should complete moratorium for a couple decades, and then we should go back to the national quota system that we had before the Hart-Celler Act. I felt that was a pretty good time period for our country. People act like America's been open borders for like the entirety of its existence. It's just not true. From 1924 to 1965, we basically had a moratorium. And then before that, we didn't let like any East Asians come into the country. There was a policy that said only white people could come here. And that was literally for basically our country's entire history. Like we had very specific legislation that said non-whites cannot come into the country. And then when too many Europeans came into the country in 1924, we basically said, okay, we can't take anymore. And that was for like 40 years until we get to the status quo policy, which is a million mystery meat under the sun can come into the country.
So can you explain the Hart-Celler Act? I've read on it briefly, and obviously we know, I would like you also to break down the certain demographic who was part and key in passing this act. But what is the Hart-Celler Act, and why should we have an aversion to it or dislike it?
Yeah, so the Hart-Celler Act of 1965, this was during basically probably the most deconstructive period in America's history, maybe behind the 1930s, but I don't want to, but that's for another day going into that period. This is the 60s. This is the heart of the civil rights movement. And the Hart-Celler Act was basically a attachment of the Civil Rights Act, which basically the Hart-Celler Act did is that it abolished the national quota system of immigration. It said that we can't discriminate against immigrants from certain countries. Basically, anyone of any country can come in here. And that's basically been the status quo. Now, to get to the demographics that were behind that bill, it's Hart-Celler, but Hart really had nothing to do with it. The guy who was the mastermind and was the biggest push for the Hart-Celler Act was the Jew, Emanuel Celler. And he had been against the national quota system since he'd been into politics. He was one of the biggest liberals in the government at the time. He was one of the biggest pushers for the Civil Rights Act, and he was a massive Jew. And Jews were effectively the big Kevin McDonald talks a lot about this in The Culture of Critique. I believe that's chapter 7, where it goes into immigration policy. But yeah, Jews were the American Jewish Congress and the Anti-Defamation League, same foes that we have today. They put millions of dollars in lobbying against immigration restrictionists and for basically open borders policy. And the Jewish congressperson, who was the guy literally behind the Hart-Celler Act, got exactly his way. And they also, just the last point, they completely lied about what the bill was going to do. They promised that it would not fundamentally change the demographics of the country. And here we are decades later, and the demographics have changed so much in a way that it is basically irreversible. Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the kind of next step in kind of fixing the demographic situation in the U.S.? Because this seems to be a pretty big issue, and a lot of people are talking about it, and I have ideas, but I don't know a concrete path forward that seems politically viable like right now.
Yeah, I don't either. The only thing I can say is to keep putting pressure on the right people and keep making your talking points known. We are winning, right? This is a lot of people get blackpilled. Our side is winning. Like on the immigration issue, it's basically been conceded that non-white immigration has been a disaster. That's why you see Charlie Kirk and co talk about banning third world immigration. Now that is performative. They don't really mean that, but what that does show is our positions are the popular positions that they know they have to show support for, give lip service to. The next step is essentially be like, if you don't do this, we're not going to vote for you. And we kind of talked about that earlier with the Newsom stuff. It's the only thing I can really say is just to keep your foot on the gas and keep forcing these people to capitulate. Do not capitulate for them. They need your vote. They need your vote. That is what, that's the only tool you basically have is your vote. Don't fucking give it to them.
Yeah, I completely agree. What do you think about kind of this alt media, and I call it alt media, but it's more like mainstream media now, like Charlie Kirk's, Laura Loomer, Tim Pool, and some of these
people.
Yeah, I agree. But like, where do you think they're going after this? Because I know you said you're I don't want to call you a group or anything like that, because, you know, what the fuck does he mean? But like, I know you said you like Fuentes. I do too. There's some stuff where I think he's a little goofy, but it seems like they can't really ignore him anymore, even though they're definitely trying.
Yeah, I was talking about this to a couple guys the other day. Censorship still exists on X, not in the way that it used to, but it still does. Like,
yeah.
Fuentes, Shields is another one. They're denied their check mark. And so what the check mark means now is that the algorithm is going to try to ignore you, basically. And if your characters are limited, so you can't tweet out maybe what you all want to tweet out. But I'm predicting, especially when the primaries in the 2028 election come about, you're going to get 2020-2018 style censorship. I'm predicting that's going to come back. But yeah, the genie's already out of the bottle. Fuentes is the hot new thing. Not the new thing. He's been a while for a long time, but he's on I think he called it a generational run, a generational run that no one can ignore. And they're failing very hard to ignore him, especially when people like Tucker and Candace Owens are showing him attention. Elon Musk insinuated he was a Fed. So they're trying to Fed Jack, or they were trying to. That's kind of cooled down now. That obviously didn't work. Fuentes, can I think of a few others? There's a couple others, I'm sure you know. But yeah, this is why they're trying to get Zoomers into, like they did the whole media showing with a couple of Gen Z people going to Israel. You're seeing the Bapsphere and whatnot with J.D. Vance. He follows Bronze Age Pervert on Twitter. He is he's talked about Curtis Yarvin openly before. The direction that they're trying to do is essentially synthesize pro-white and white nationalism with the Republican Party. And then once they're in power, you're not going to get any of the white nationalism. You're just going to get the Republican Party. So that seems to be the goal right now, is adopting dissident right, Guerper, Fuentes, talking points, and then trying to make that a Republican Party thing, and then you're not going to get any of that. That's essentially what Trump was, right? And you didn't get anything. So, yeah, I think the genie's out of the bottle when it comes to, you know, how popular with Fuentes and the dissident right is right now. I think the goal here is going to try to be to adopt those talking points, standard conservatives to adopt those talking points and then not do anything with them. I don't think that's going to work. You've seen how much the negative reaction has been to Vance. And I'm also predicting a comeback in censorship in full force. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought that Trump was the free speech president. And then one thing I predicted accurately was the increase in like overall censorship over anti-Semitism. I never really thought about going into the midterms. But yeah, I could totally see them basically trying to crank down on people who are being loud and rowdy about just the complete total cuckoldry to Israel.
Because everyone's going
to
be saying, don't vote for the Israel people. Don't vote for them. I feel like that's going to get shut down.
Yeah, and I mean, in a way, if that does happen, I think it's going to be blatantly obvious. Like, I don't think they could necessarily run away with that like they did before, just because there's so much narrative awareness. And then they would also have to go to a platform like Rumble, because Fuentes isn't on YouTube or anything like that, but he still gets like, what is it, like a 250,000 to 500,000 views on Rumble of all places, which like,
yeah, he gets a concurrent like 20,000 view, like 20,000 live audience. Like that's for Rumble. I mean, that's good for anybody, but to get that on Rumble, I mean, that's just unheard of.
Yeah. It's literally the size of someone like Tim Cast has been building a brand, and, you know, definitely it seems like he got money probably from some Israeli sponsors, because who's in the main demographic of his guests, you know, it's,
I mean, you saw him literally go into a meeting with BB. So, like, that's like, that's open and shut with that guy. That guy's also just a total fucking, I don't want to say it on YouTube, but that guy, like, he's bald and he's very insecure about him being bald. So he kind of wears that gay fucking beanie. Like, there is a picture of him in a suit at a nice event and he had a beanie on. I'm like,
it's a Mar-a-Lago.
Oh yeah, Mar-a-Lago has the beanie on with the suit. Mar-a-Lago, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Just hold it off, bro. There's no reason to be. Nah, whatever. But yeah, I am predicting a censorship comeback. It might not be 2020 style, but you are going to see massive de-boosting. You're going to see deplatforming. You're going to see stuff like that, because they can't have the Israel criticism and the Jew criticism, quite frankly, like they are now, and expect very successful elections during the midterms for like openly Zionist candidates. I don't think you're gonna, you know, you see what I'm saying. I'm predicting censorship coming back in a way we haven't really seen before.
Yeah. Do you think that the Israel conversation is going to come up at a presidential level come 2028?
In a way where they're both sucking like the dick of Israel, that will happen, but I don't think you'll see any criticism of it, no.
There's it's funny because I got Roseanne Barr to reply to me in a tweet the other day where I don't remember exactly what I said. Oh, I said too long, didn't read, because she was saying something about every 80 years the anti-Semitic stuff comes up. And I'm like, you're just like going down the stereotypes. We always talk about the curse of the eighth decade, and then you're saying, oh, every 80 years anti-Semitism comes up. And she said, oh, thanks for making like the example crystal clear, something like that. And you know, you're not gonna get your rights
with Vance. That's not gonna happen. You're not gonna get like the next Trump and Vance are not gonna be the next Fuhrer. That's the fucking question. That just seems like hope.
Yeah, you always see people basically trying to pump that up. What do you think of the plan trusters this far who are still into it?
Total retards. Like, if you're still shielding for Trump, you're just a fucking idiot. I mean, the anti-Trump people have been everyone who said don't vote for Trump has been vindicated on a level that I couldn't even have predicted. I did not think it was going to be this bad, and it's much worse than I can imagine. Like, if you can try to justify the shit that he's doing, you're just a total clown. You're just a clown. Probably might be getting paid, but a lot of these guys are just doing it for the love of the game, I guess. They're just kind of retarded. So maybe even saying that they might have the agency to get paid is giving them a little too much.
Yeah. I mean, like, fuck. I threw it out there that I sincerely believe that probably Tim Pool and like Patrick Bet-David were probably getting paid by the Trump.
They're probably getting paid. Yeah. But when it, like, you know, like Captive Dreamer and those guys, they're probably not getting paid, bro. They're just Shabbos goy. They're just Shabbos goys.
Yeah. Yeah, that Captive Dreamer dude's a real fucking clown. There were serious people. The one other dude was that.
He A-logs the fuck out of me too, bro. It's so annoying. He almost every three or four tweets, he'll comment or say something about it. Like I saw a tweet of his the other day, and he was trying to blame Catholics for mass migration. And I was like, we can't talk about this until you talk about the Jews involved in mass migration. And then the self-owned, he posts a picture of the Pope at the wall they all go to. And I'm just like, this is the biggest fucking self-owned I think I've ever seen in my life, bro. Like, if your argument is that the Catholic Church is like compromised by Jews, then it's just like you just owned yourself. Like, you just, like, your argument just like completely went out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, I never knew who that dude was until like last year, and then I started seeing some of his takes. I'm like, this dude's a fucking clown. And every time you see like these right wing people, quote unquote right wing people, and they never talk about Israel, instantly I'm like, yeah, dude, you're sus. Like, something about you ain't right.
You remember Eden Dickerhoff? If you remember that situation, the white girl who got kicked out of college. She was the guy who told the guy wearing the Israeli shirt to go fuck himself, and she got kicked out of college. Did you?
It was like a month or two ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was saying that girl got kicked out of college because she assaulted someone, not because that she told a Jew to fuck off. Like, bro, like, I can't take that. Can't take that stuff seriously, bro. At all.
Yeah, I just, these people fucking drive me nuts. So we've been going for pretty close to an hour now, and my internet has been just absolutely driving me nuts. What kind of hope do you have for things going forward?
I'm white pilled. I'm hopeful. There's been a lot of indicators where I think that we're. Oh, number one, the biggest indication. This is always going to be the vindication. Is that I think what we're doing is my side of things and the people I've aligned myself with and people that have similar ideas with me. God is with them. That's the first thing. God is with us, and God will always prevail. And there's a couple other indicators that I'm pretty white-pilled on. Like, Jews are just getting dumber, and it's getting more obvious, like, the hands that they're having. So, and people are becoming much more aware of that. There's a couple other reasons why, but yeah, generally, I'm pretty white-pilled. I'm pretty hopeful for the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that because the kind of like what we were talking about, we're basically like the Fuentes audience and kind of like those ideas are spreading like wildfire now, and it really seems like Trump almost seems like he has to address these. Like, I remember seeing something where he said he was addressing somebody and he was saying to, it was something with Israel where he was like my people really hate you or something like that.
Yeah, he said that in private and that got leaked. Yeah, a lot of this, a lot of people do. Is that's one of the biggest white pills is Israel's just not popular, and that's not going to go away. A lot of people think that the backlash they're getting for their genocide they're doing in Gaza, that's going to go away. That's not going to go away at all. That is good. People are going to remember this for a long time, and I don't think Israel will ever be popular in the way that it was, and that's going to be a big problem for Zionism.
Yeah, I think it's because back in the day, you know, World War II was a lot closer for people like my parents' age, born in the 60s and all that. So I think when they're looking at that, you know, a lot of older people are like, they either love Israel or they're somewhat indifferent. Whereas I feel like people, at least my age and younger, I'll be 31 in November. I think we're more like, no, like we really don't want anything to do that. You know, we don't want anything to do with Israel anymore.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it seem like people around your age are a lot more cynical? Cause that's the vibe I kind of get.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Cool. There's a nihilist. This is, I said this one thing, and I might even write an article articulating this, but I said the black pill is the white pill if you're political. Because like, for example, white men in the military is like at an all time low. Just one example. People like my generation are pretty nihilist about a lot of things. And while that might seem black pilled to a lot of people that, you know, so many people just don't give a fuck anymore. And a lot of people are with that mentality. They just don't give a fuck anymore. But that's a white pill for me, because if people are withdrawing from the system, then that means they're not in the system. That means the system has a lot less power. So if people are nihilist about these type of questions and, you know, they're starting to care less about a lot of things. Well, that means Zog has a lot less influence over them. So in a really dialectical, contradictory way, people being black-pilled is actually kind of a white-pill for me.
Nice. Yeah, I like that perspective. One last thing would be, like, you've talked about the vibe shift. And I remember people saying this, I'm like, this just seems stupid. Like, whenever I heard people say vibe shift, I'm like, I'm not feeling it, bro. What do you think?
Jews are becoming more right wing, right? That, and you're seeing the media become more right wing. You're seeing white people in advertisements again. You're Sydney Sweeney in the jeans. That was a thing. Shit like that. And Jews are becoming like right wing ideologically. Like, for example, there was a survey done by a guy named Kaufman, and Jews, specifically Ivy League Jews, are more Republican than the average Ivy League student. There's been a big shift in Jewish political thought. Jews, a lot of the billionaires, Jewish billionaires, went for Trump. The usual suspects, but they donated a lot more to him this time around. The culture seems to be slightly going in a more rightward direction. And rightward, I don't mean in a good direction. I mean just in the political rightward direction. And the thing that I've just been driving home about this is that, yeah, but this is for a specific reason. It's so you can think you're winning. If your right wing is trying to get you to feel like you're winning and you're not winning, because nothing in substance and policy is actually going the way that you would want it to go. If it is, it's nothing burgers. It's stuff that like doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I remember you talking about this, and then you mentioned who owned American Eagle, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, didn't know.
Yeah, it's like we're so back because Sydney Sweeney is like a white girl talking about jeans, but American Eagle is ran by a Jew, and not just a Jew, but a Jew who, when October 7th happened, put the Israel, like, did an advertisement on Times Square, and it was just a big ass Israeli flag. Like that's who's giving you your base pretty white girl. It's like obviously very manufactured thing.
Yeah, a friend of mine always points out that one specific group is just always so subversive. And ever since he said it, I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Every single fucking time.
Right.
Yeah. Dumernet, I've really enjoyed this conversation, man. So I would definitely like to do another one at some point. I had one mind where we'll maybe roll through that article. I know you said it's a little bit of a long one, but maybe we'll have to figure something out like that. Maybe me, you, and Jose. But why don't you tell the good people where they could find you, support you, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, just go to my Twitter, Dumernat, at Dumernat2233. I'm going to eventually make my own podcast, but that's still in the making, so I can't really shout that out right now. Yeah, that seems about it.
Cool, man. Well, like I said, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your appearance on Jubilee and on all our mutual friend shows. Just keep crushing it, dude. I know Blonde said this on her show, but yeah, you give me hope for the next generation. It does seem like the next generation coming up. I remember someone saying that, like, oh, they're much more conservative, and I didn't really see a lot of evidence of it. But like now, over time, I'm like, yeah, the younger people. I think we're gonna be okay, because the younger people, when their time comes, it's going to be like, yeah, this is just like a whole new country now because they're so radicalized.
Right. Yeah, all right, man. Well, thanks for having me on, man. Anytime you want to have another conversation, just let me know and I'll be totally down.
For sure, man. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, take care.